dignity,
security,
freedom,
freedom,
respect,
justice,
justice, justice,
justice,
justice,
equality,
equality,
remedy,
and protection,
fairness,
fair play,
privacy,
right,
will,
peace,
movement,
men.
This is my mistake, let me make it good. I raised the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum,
identity,
family,
home,
conscience,
expression,
expression.
Expression,
expression,
participation,
democracy,
welfare,
work,
work,
leisure,
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 health,
education,
progress,
culture,
human rights,
Charter Dana,
solidarity,
responsibility.
Fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good day to our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM, and welcome to everyone tuning in over the internet at cjtr.ca. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a global collection of musicians. I'm Jim Hutchings, and I'm joined by my co-host Mona Hill. And joining us is Ashley Norton, activist and advocate for environmental and social justice. She's currently a member of the Canadian Aboriginal AIDS Network, / National Aboriginal Youth Council on HIV/AIDS, the first ever of its kind in existence within North America, which deals with HIV/AIDS, healthy sexuality, and Indigenous youth issues. Ashley also represents Southern Saskatchewan Métis as a board member of Back to Batoche Festival Days Incorporated. This is her first year in helping to plan the festival's events. And I'm going to turn it over to Mona.
Hello, everyone. It's nice to be back.
Welcome, everyone.
Yes, welcome. So we do have Ashley with us today. Welcome, Ashley. It's wonderful to have you.
Hello.
Yeah. Good to move up. Yeah. And just to let you know, I may start coughing a little bit because I have a bit of a cold I'm getting over, so don't be alarmed. I'm going to attempt to articulate the foundation that Ashley is responsible for founding with someone else, another Métis woman, right?
Yeah, two other Métis women.
Wichiwayshenan. Does that work? Wichiwayshenan Foundation.
Yeah.
Right. It's a non-political and charitable foundation incorporated through Information Service Corporation. And Wichiwayshenan is a Mi'kmaq name. I think a lot of people don't know that the Métis people have their own language. Tell us about that.
The Mi'kmaq language comes from, being Métis. They're part European descent, mainly French and Cree. So the Mi'kmaq language is, partial French and partial Cree. It's a language that is not offered, currently as an Aboriginal language at the universities. So right now there's people, working on Mi'kmaq language books or, writing the language so that it's universal. But it's one of those languages that was oral, so it's really not a written language, and that's what I guess some Michif language speakers and knowledge keepers are working on to preserve.
So how close do you believe they're getting to completing, I guess, maybe a whole dictionary or encyclopedia of the language? Do you have any idea?
There's a small dictionary that came out a few years ago, and I guess different provinces are at different levels of initiating, I guess, language programs. I know that there's a few Métis authors who publish children's books, like Wilfred Burton. He has a few books. He's actually a local artist here in Regina. He came out with, I think he has 4 or 5 books now, and it's written in English, and then it's also translated into Michif.
So would this be something that elementary school teachers might have available to them to read to their children, to the kids in their class, or teach them?
Yep, these books are available in libraries and also mm-hmm. through Gabriel Dumont Institute. Mm-hmm. They have a website, and you can order these books online through that website. And I believe some of the bookstores actually carry them.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you just go and ask for Métis children's books.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Gabriel Dumont was a Métis, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and we have Gabriel Dumont Institute. What can you tell us about that organization?
Gabriel Dumont Institute does a lot of employment and training initiatives. So they help, I guess, with basic job searching, interview skills, kind of like a CANSASC, but more on a smaller scale geared towards Métis students. But okay. They also accept treaty students and non-status, and I guess anybody who wanted to attend the program. And then they do adult education, and they've been offering a lot of different programs with the health region to try to get more Aboriginal people employed in the health field. So they have LPN course, special care aid, medical terminology, and mm-hmm. different things like that, where it's kind of getting Métis or in First Nations people's foot in the door through different health regions.
Yeah, I think they have a huge variety of programs there, don't they? They also have the teaching program as well.
Oh, yes, yeah. One of their main programs has been really successful. I believe it started in the 70s or 80s, is the Saskatchewan Urban Native Teacher Education Program, SUNTEP,
mm-hmm.
and that's offered through Gabriel Dumont Institute, but it's also part of the University of Regina. So they have their own faculty and classes, and they do Métis Studies 101 and History of the Métis, and they have really knowledgeable instructors there about Métis. They take the students out and do genealogy with them. So when I went there, we went to a trip to Winnipeg, and we got to retrace, I guess, the steps of our ancestors. We went to a fort, and then we went to where one of the battles take place. I can't think of what battle
Seven
it was
Oaks,
right now.
Maybe.
Yes, the Battle of Seven Oaks, yes.
Yeah. That's where I grew up.
Oh, yeah, okay, well, you will know, yeah, all the landmarks, and
I'm
it's
thrilled,
right
yeah,
at the forks.
Yeah, I'm
and
thrilled
right,
to hear it all, yeah.
And
you
we
probably went to Lower
Boniface.
Fort Garry.
Yes, Lower Fort Garry, yeah, yes. Okay, yeah. That's where we went, yeah.
Yeah, it is basically the seat of the Métis people in Winnipeg.
It is, yeah. And the river, like the Red River, where it goes mm-hmm. up through St. Boniface mm-hmm. and Xavier, which I can't remember what town that is. It's just right outside
yes.
of Winnipeg there.
Yes, I can't remember either. It's
a French
time.
Town, and there's lots yeah. of Métis mm-hmm. people buried there, so we were able to go back and check out the grave sites and walk along the river, and it was kind of weird because the Métis people were poor people, but they were resilient, I guess, in ways, and that on the lands where they lived, there's these big, huge mansions now. And
yeah.
so it's kind of a lot yeah. different now as what it was to a couple hundred years ago.
Yeah, and that a lot of that land was originally given to them through the scrip.
Métis
and,
scrip, yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there were unscrupulous people who followed, you know, land speculators and that. Most of them lost their land. That's
yeah, a lot of them sold their scrip for cheap,
yeah.
and a lot of it was to sell for, I guess, to feed their family.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them would leave, and they didn't settle their land. Because
yeah.
they were nomadic people as well. They would follow the buffalo and, you know, have summer camps and winter camps, and just living in a piece of land wasn't, you know, economical for them because they weren't, I guess, you know, exactly farmers or settlers of the lands. They were, you know, free people to roam how they wanted, and so a lot of them lost their lands. And today there's there was a big land claim in Manitoba actually for the people and for the Red River to regain some of that land back. And it has gone to the Supreme Court of Canada. It's a multi-million, billion-dollar land claim for the Métis people.
Wow. So did you see the statue of Louis Riel?
Yes, I did, yeah. I saw the old statue and the new statue, and we got to go visit his gravesite, and I got to see his coffin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's in one of the churches.
Oh, okay. That would be in the St. Boniface Cathedral, I would imagine. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. There's a smaller house there, and it's kind of like a museum now. And it was, that's where they held his coffin. And actually, Louis Riel was hung in Regina.
Yes.
And they had to hide his body under the floor at the Nova Cafe.
Oh, the Nova Cafe downtown, yes.
Yeah, that wasn't there before. I can't remember what building it was, but... Yeah, in the floors there, they had to hide his body because they were worried of retaliation or people just coming to steal it because he's, you know, a celebrity. So.
And that's something I didn't learn in, you know, when I did any kind of research on Métis people, that his body was actually hidden.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't know it, Louis Riel was hung or hanged in Regina, probably about...
November 16th.
5-minute drive from the station here.
1885, yeah.
Yeah. So his body was hidden. Wow. Yes, Winnipeg has such a rich history for the Métis people. And I always felt very grateful to grow up, you know, learning a little bit about that history. Mm-hmm. Of course, it wasn't exactly the same as the history that's being taught today, what I learned when I was young. And that, this brings me to the idea of you talked about young children having books available to them and teachers being able to read them to them or share them with them, and Gabriel Dumont Institute having Métis history classes. Very recently, I'm sure you're aware that a student at the University of Regina has been advocating for University 100 classes in Aboriginal studies throughout the country. And there has been a huge response to this. What's your take on something like this for Métis studies?
I think if the Métis studies was included, I guess, in Indigenous studies and they had the correct history and it was, you know, a part of a section or a component, I think that would be fair just to include that as part of the curriculum, just learning about treaties and residential schools and Métis peoples in general, the script, and not just the historical things but current things happening today and how... I guess, you know, the nation's still building that. Yeah, they lost their culture, but they're still bringing it back. And it's really important to teach that to students, because even Métis people today, they're at an identity crisis because a lot of them don't understand what is a Métis. It's, you know, it's kind of hard to believe because I grew up, you know, a Métis person. My mom's Métis, my dad's Métis. I'm called a purebred half-breed. But, you know, like, growing up, I never had any outside influences. I'm really thankful that my dad and my mom were so involved with the community that I was able to grow up in a community that was supportive to learning about my own Métis culture. I have two sons at home, and I have some books about Métis and about going to Batoche days and about jigging and fiddling and all the, you know, community love and support. And I was reading it to them. I started crying. And I was so proud. And my son's like, "Why are you crying?" And I'm like, I'm just so proud there's books like this now. And I'm like, they never had that when I was growing up.
Right.
You know, and I'm able to teach my kids from home, like, we went to Batoche and John Arcan's a master of the Métis fiddle. And he was mentioned in that book. And it was just, it was just overwhelming to actually, you know, lie there in my son's room and read them books that, you know, made me proud.
Proud of your heritage, proud of your identity. And on that note, we have some fiddle music, which is part of the Métis heritage. This is the Métis song, the Métis national anthem, isn't it? Let's play
it
that, Jim.
Okay, here we go.
On the river and across the western plain, as the white men journeyed westward to the land of the Indian, a new race was created, a new nation rose up strong. Hardship as its destiny,
hers to not belong. In the land from which they came, in the land they helped to build, they found themselves the alien, they found their vision unfulfilled. And despite their valiant effort to defend what they believed, when at last the battle ended, they were only left to breathe. Watch our nation rise again. Never more forgotten people, we're the true Canadians. From across the plain they traveled, from Red River to the Peace, looking for their own homeland that would help them to replace all the land that had been taken and the dreams that had been doused. Their brave heroes now called traitors and courageous deeds now past. But their spirit was not broken and their dreams had never died. Determination strengthened even while the people cried, as they waited for the battle that would end their years of pain and the final bloodless battle when the nation rose again. We are proud to be Métis, watch our nation rise again. For this newest generation and the future ones to come, with the past to motivate us, it will help to keep us strong. As we build the Métis nation, as we watch it rise again, our past loss is motivation to inspire our future gain. We are proud to be Métis, watch our nation rise again. Never more forgotten people, we're the true Canadians. We are watch our nation rise again. Never more forgotten people, we're the true Canadians.
And there you have it.
Welcome back to Human Rights Radio. I'm Mona Hill, here with Jim Hutchings, and today we're talking about the Métis with a proud and beautiful Métis woman, Ashley Norton. Ashley has a lot of information for us, and we've been talking about the Métis Nation and different aspects of language, the foundations of the Métis people a little bit. And I noticed that you've got a Métis newspaper with you. And one of the things in it that we thought we'd talk about is the Métis flag rising that occurred in Regina. When was that? It was probably about 6 months ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess it's in the Landscape article that comes out through Métis Nation of Saskatchewan in this Landscape newsletter is available on their website, www.mn-s.ca.
Okay. It's a really nice looking piece of newspaper there.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It gives all the political updates and, I guess, community updates and anybody, Métis organizations or organizations doing Métis programs can submit articles and just publish them for
free.
Yeah,
it's pretty comprehensive looking. So let's talk about the flag raising. You were involved in it, weren't you?
Yeah, I got to help, I guess, assist in the planning of the Métis flag being raised at Regina City Hall on November 15th, 2011. It was 1 month after we raised the Treaty 4 flag at Regina City Hall. And I guess we have to give credit to the late Gordon Oakes. He is from Minikini First Nation, so also part of Treaty 4. And him and a few other people, Elmer Shappi and Larry Oakes, I'm sure I'm forgetting some names, were instrumental in talking with Mayor Pat Fiacco and I guess joining together, I guess creating some unity and some pride for the First Nations and Métis people living here in the city. And so they decided to do flag raising ceremonies, and I got to help with the Métis Nation flag raising ceremony. And so I was on the planning committee, and then last minute I was asked to be the MC for the day. And so I graciously accepted and got some, I got to, you know, address the podium and, you know, help with the setup and raise the flag. And then at the end I was jigging with Mayor Pat Fiacco.
Oh, so. You're a jigger too, are you?
Yeah, so I wasn't planning on jigging. We were just going to have like a mob jiggers come out. We dressed them in capotes and there were people who perform already or, you know, did it. And then everybody else was just jigging. So I started jigging and the mayor was right there and I'm like, come on, let's do this. And
you then dragged Mayor Pat Fiacco into jig, did you?
Yes, he's actually a really good jigger. He's he doesn't have two left feet, so.
Okay. Well, he's a boxer, so I imagine he has some rhythm, eh?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he right. kept up pretty good.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
And you mentioned earlier that Regina is the only city in the world that has the raising of the Métis flag.
Yes, I think they were the first. I'm not sure if Alberta has raised a flag, but they were one of the first two municipal governments to raise an Aboriginal person's flag. So because of the Treaty 4 flag and the Métis Nation flag, that they were, the first in North America, at least. I don't know. Métis people don't exist really anywhere in the world.
And I would think that maybe Winnipeg might be considered as somewhere that might want to do this as well. Have you heard any rumblings about that?
I haven't heard anything, no. I know...
might be a project for you for the future.
The NDPs were talking last year during their election campaign at Batoche that if they got in, they would raise the Métis flag at the Parliament building.
Okay.
But, of course, they didn't get in, so we're still... working on negotiations with SAS Party.
Right. Why is Batoche important? You've raised Batoche a few times. Tell us about that.
I guess the Batoche is a huge land base here in Saskatchewan that is along the South Saskatchewan River. And it was, a settlement for Métis people. This is where Louis Riel came and Gabriel Dumont and their regime of Métis military, I guess, that were driven here from the Red River. And they came up and, to help with Métis people, against the government, like for land claims and trying to bring justice for Métis people and also First Nations people because they fought along them, like Chief One Arrow. Okay. One Arrow Reserve is right next to Batoche. He was actually buried in the gravesite where Louis Riel's is erected in St. Boniface there in Winnipeg. So a few years ago, I think in 2008 or 2007, they brought his remains back to One Arrow Reserve. And so Louis Riel, was really, he was an MP and a member of parliament, and he was in Ottawa, and he would actually sneak into meetings and sneak out because he was scared of, well, not scared, but lots of people were after him because he was so vocal about the Métis and First Nations people's rights as Aboriginal Indigenous peoples of this land. So Batoche, there was a big battle there in 1885, and we still have the lands today that is secured through the Métis Nation of Saskatchewan. And there's a festival there every year to commemorate the battle and to come to bring Métis people together to celebrate the culture and the history. So there's jigging and square dancing and fiddling music and camping and visiting, and it's all it's a non-alcoholic event. So before they used to have bars and things like that, but now they made it more family orientated where they banned alcohol and drugs, and it makes it for a lot peaceful peaceful gathering than kind of a chaotic thing that would happen.
Reminds me of the Canmore Folk Festival.
Yes.
No liquor allowed.
and it's good. It actually works out really well. I got on the board for this year, so we're planning to make it more youth-friendly this year, so we're going to be having youth performers and youth MCs and highlight the youth of the Métis Nation across Canada at Patosh this year. Oh, and it's July 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st, that weekend.
Can I go?
Oh, anybody can come. Anyone? Yeah, anybody is allowed to come if you just want to, like, search Google or go clicking Back to Patosh Days on Google 2012.
Okay.
And the main organizer is here in Regina. And so you can pay for camping, or you can come out for one day, or you can get a weekend pass.
How far is it from Regina?
It's short of an hour outside of Saskatoon, maybe
about three and a half hours.
Yeah.
Well, I should go for my birthday because it's on the 19th of July.
Yeah, you should. It'd be really fun.
Yeah. Well, that sounds great. What do we got? About 2 minutes left, Jim?
Yeah, two and a half.
Okay. So that sounds exciting. There's more than one place that is famous for Métis resistance, I guess you would call it. There's Patosh. I think there was a Frog Lake one, wasn't there?
Yeah,
as well?
There's a Battle of Frog Lake, Battle of Fish Creek, and they're kind of all along the South Saskatchewan River leading up to Patosh.
It sounds like they had a really rough time of it.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So coming back to current identity, when we come back from the break, I'd like to talk a little bit about identity. Métis identity, and also talk about Wichiwaishinon Foundation, mm-hmm. our women's foundation. We're also going to hear some more jigging music, I think, and take it away, Jim.
That is the Red River Jig, and it was recorded by Sierra Noble 8 years ago when she was 14 years old.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's almost, as you said, the second national anthem of the Métis Nation,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
The Red River Jig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Wichiwaishinon Foundation, tell me about it. It's a women's organization, isn't it?
Yes, it's newly founded in December of 2011 by myself, Samantha Reset, and Jennifer McGillis We're all three Métis women living here in Regina. We were at a different award show this fall, and it was recognizing First Nations people. And so we sat around and thought, how come we don't have this for the Métis Nation? And we're sitting there like, well, there's not a lot of services available for Métis people. There's nowhere to go to connect with other Métis people, and there's no solid Métis organization that's just for community and grassroots people. Like I talked about, there's a political stream and the education stream, but there's nothing, I guess, in the, you know, the grassroots organizational kind of where you can come and learn language or culture, you know, and talk with Métis elders and stuff. So what we decided to do, me, I'm just a doer. When I say I want to do something, I usually just go out and do it. So I went and got incorporated, paid for it, and said, well, if we're going to talk about it, we might as well do it, because if you're not incorporated, then you can't apply for the funds. Mm-hmm. And so we got Saskatchewan charitable status, and we're looking at whether to stay nonprofit or to go as a registered charity. That's why we called it a foundation, because we wanted to create something that would leave a legacy. Like, we're, if we're going to fundraise and have services and programs, we wanted to start off with just different events that would raise Métis pride and bring Métis people together. So we had a couple community engagement meetings, which First Nations and Métis Relations had funded for us. And so we were able to bring together at these two meetings Métis people of the South, South Saskatchewan. That's what we're focusing on, Regina and South Saskatchewan, to create dialogue and get, I guess, a go-ahead from our knowledge keepers to go forward with this and to get their support, because we realized that, yeah, we are young Métis women, and we need support of our older Métis people to do it. And a lot of them said, oh, you're taking a lot on your plate, and we're not sure if you're going to be able to accomplish this. You should focus on just doing the Métis Awards and doing some fundraising events for this year, because it is our first year in existence.
I see your point, though. I mean, if you don't do it, who's going to do it?
Exactly. And so we got the support of a lot of knowledge keepers and elders, and I guess that's what I'm here today is promoting it. What we need to do is get out in the media and in the community and start showing that we're here and we're open for ideas, I guess, and volunteers and things. So we're going to host the first annual Métis Awards. We're trying to make it an annual event on October 20th, 2012 at the Regina Inn.
That's doing a lot of work very fast.
We have, yeah. Well, ever since we incorporated in December, we got a website donated. I say it different too. Wichiwaishanan Foundation is a Michif name, which I talked about before. Michif is French and Cree. We were given this name, I guess, through a Métis knowledge keeper. I was talking with her one day, and it means helpers of the spirit or spirit helpers or come help us. It can be translated, I guess, into many different ways. So we decided to go with We Are Helpers. It kind of suits fit on what we're doing and what we're trying to create. So our website is www.wearehelpers.org, and we got a website donated through Todd Herman. He is a Métis man living in BC, but he's from Saskatchewan. He was looking at our Facebook page one day, and he said, do you have a website? Do you have this? So he did our logo for us. He did the website all for free.
That's wonderful.
And wow. So we said, you know what, this is a sign. He had a dream about three women, and his mom came to him, or somebody came to him in his dream and said, you need to help these women, whatever they need, you need to help them. And then the next day he found our website page and was like, this is who I'm meant to help. And we're really believe in spiritual messages, and this was a message from him. So I just believe we're like blessed throughout the whole thing, because everything's just rolling and just evolving with so fast that it's kind of unbelievable to see how fast everything's going, and there's only three of us doing all this work.
It's absolutely amazing. It's unbelievable what you've done since what, November last
Thank
year
you. Yes, yeah,
yeah. And I wanted to go over the goals of Wichiwaishanan Foundation. Number one was to acknowledge Métis achievement, which you've already talked about will be occurring in the fall, right?
Yeah.
To provide educational workshops to Métis families. to preserve Métis culture and traditions. Well, we've talked a little bit about, a tiny little bit about Métis culture, and that is part of it is the music and the jigging. Mm-hmm. What else is important about Métis culture?
Well, important is what happened at Regina City Hall on November 15th, 2011, is raising the flag for the Métis Nation. I remember growing up and not having any place to connect or really looking for my cultural identity, you know, in the city. I noticed a lot of other cultures were here, but nothing specific to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that landmarks, statues, just strong organizations and visible people in the community help with raising
right.
Métis identity and pride. So what we're looking at doing next is to getting acknowledgement and a monument put in place to honor Louis Riel. And Regina and marking where he was actually hung,
mm-hmm.
And finding that out. Sometimes I guess it's kind of controversial because the RCMP don't really want to acknowledge that they hung this leader
right.
who was a member of parliament for treason. But really what he was doing was standing up for the human rights or indigenous land rights of the Métis Nation and you know, also with First Nations.
Right.
I think the decision for that came all the way from the top, though.
Yes.
I think Sir John A. himself wanted Louis Riel hung, and that's what happened.
Yes.
Well, and it's interesting you should say that because part of the history is that at one point, John A. had sent him to the United States to try and save him, I believe, from what I learned when I took my Aboriginal studies. So it's very interesting, but I guess maybe he was thinking if he got rid of him, he wouldn't come back, but he did.
But he came back, yeah.
Yeah. And another one of the goals that I'd like you to talk about is identifying issues impacting Métis women, because this is a woman's organization currently, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. What are some of those issues that are different that impact Métis women that don't necessarily impact other women?
Well, I think a lot of the issues are the same, I guess, like domestic violence and poverty and just what we found is that there's no place to connect or to gather to come together as Métis women to, you know, work mm-hmm. on, say, the Métis wards or if we want to do, okay. like, women's healing circles, sharing circles, sewing groups and just learning, like, traditional Métis regalia or,
right.
you know, flower beadwork beading or, yeah. you know, just things that are specific to Métis. Like, me and my friends sometimes will get together and go jig with our kids in the basement. And it's fun and it's, you know, exercise and it's just something that we're doing to try to teach our kids to be proud of,
yeah.
you know, who they are. And the foundation was developed because we're three Métis women and we've been around in Regina long enough to know a lot of the organizations here and a lot of the gaps in the services that are being provided and a lot of the Aboriginal organizations. I don't know if it's a lack of knowledge or just the lack of commitment or lack of Métis people employed in their organization, and a lot of them don't have services geared towards Métis people.
Where do
people.
You see those gaps currently?
Oh, definitely within, like, say, family services, where, okay. Like, I see, like, a lot of First Nations culture and traditions and ceremonies being practiced, and, you know, there's hundreds of round dances and, you know, you can go to sweats and you can find an First Nations elder in a lot of the organizations where they're offering elder services
mm-hmm.
and they're calling them Aboriginal, but really it's not Aboriginal unless it's inclusive of First Nations and there, you know, within comes First Nations, there's many different tribal groups
of
within
course.
First Nations. So it can't just gear, you can't say it's First Nations unless you're saying it's specific to Cree people or Ojibwe. And it's just like that for the Métis people as well. We're not First Nations people and not all Métis people follow First Nations way. And a lot of Métis people are Catholic
yes.
and Christian. And that's just the way it is. So I find a lot of the services aren't, recognizing that difference between a Métis person and a First Nations person. And I think maybe it's just because there's just a lack of information. And, you know,
yeah.
I know a lot of places where I've been employed, even the boards I sit on today, I'm the only Métis person on the board. I sat on National Association of Friendship Centers. I was their youth executive for 3 years, and then I was on the youth council for a few more years before that. And I was the only Métis youth in Canada sitting on this national council, and I'm always, you know, pushing for a Métis voice and a Métis way. And it's a little different because it's more the Métis people. They'll come together and they gather and they jig and they dance and they eat, and that's kind of a ceremony in itself because, you know, right. being around people lifts your spirit and, yeah. you know, just, yeah, having that closeness to community
right.
Is, and that, you know, in our music, the fiddle is different and the jig is different. The jig is actually comprised of powwow steps and Scottish dance, right. Irish dance. So it's a little bit of all these great cultural influences mixed together, and that's how you get a Métis. And so it's sometimes it's really confusing for people to understand like what a Métis person is, and we found that out, and that's kind of what we want to promote through our foundation as well, as to educate what is a Métis person and what makes you Métis, because we found like some people think just because they're half First Nations and the other half of them is white, Caucasian, whichever may be, that would make them Métis.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at Spring Free from Racism a couple weeks ago, and I had a booth there, actually. That's where we hooked up again.
That's right, yeah.
And I was talking to a few people about Métis, and I said, well, she's like, well, my sons are Métis. And I was thinking, well, how are your sons Métis if you're not a Métis? And then she explained that, well, she's non-Aboriginal and her husband's an Aboriginal. I was like, that doesn't make you a Métis person constitutionally. It's right. It's Métis people aren't born today. They have a historical background and historical ties to the Red River, to traditional Métis lands that are throughout Canada. There's many different land bases for Métis, even though we don't have a lot of settlement claims, but Métis people have settled throughout Canada. And today, Métis people need to retrace their history back to these lands and back to these families who have originated, I guess, the Métis Nation from before Canada was even a country.
Right. That's a lot. And I have no doubt that your foundation is going to do all this.
Thank you, yeah.
Eventually it'll happen. You wanted to bring up, before we leave, we've got, what, about 5 minutes left, Jim? Just
oh,
give
no,
me an idea where we're at here.
Okay, the idea is about 14 minutes,
okay,
actually.
Okay, excellent, because you have lots more to talk about. So let's carry this forward now as okay. to where else you would like to take this. What do
okay.
you want to talk about next?
Well, right now we have sponsorship packages sent out to different corporations and businesses looking for sponsorship for the Métis Awards 2012. So we're just in the process of, I guess, legitimizing ourselves and promoting ourselves to get sponsorship to make Métis Awards 2012 happen. We were able to do our nomination packages, and this will be sent out soon as well, and they're also up on our website. Nominations must be received by Friday, July 27th, 2012. So we're looking at 17 categories.
Holy cow.
Yes, and the reason why we had so many categories is that I think the Métis Nation is long overdue for recognition. And originally I was thinking, oh, maybe we should just partner with somebody who already has an awards show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we thought, well, we need to do our own. It's for Métis people living in Saskatchewan currently who have contributed to the Métis preservation of culture, history, and who are working, I guess, for the betterment of Métis peoples in general.
Mm-hmm.
So we have many different categories like lifetime achievement, journalism, performing arts. I think we have a social justice. We have a youth award, community development. We're also giving an portrait of honor award. So it'll be for somebody who has passed on, say, like Harry Daniels or...
Why was Harry Daniels important?
Harry Daniels is one of my idols, actually, and I'm really good friends with his daughter today. But he was instrumental in getting Métis people constituted in the Canadian Constitution under Aboriginal peoples in 1982.
Okay.
So he, I guess, brought this forward to the Canadian government and, you know, went alongside with the other Aboriginal peoples to get Métis in the Constitution. And today, Métis people are still not fully recognized like Inuit and First Nations are in the Constitution. So there's been a court proceeding waiting since 1999 in the Supreme Court of Canada to decide whether Métis people is, whose responsibility it is, whether it's a federal government or provincial government. And to this day, in 2012, they still don't understand who, you know, what rights do the Métis people have and who should, you know, govern them or who should be taking care of them. So I went to a conference the other week and I, it was titled Nobody's Children. And it's true because we talk about being the forgotten people and today we're still like fighting for programs and services and land bases and, you know, help with resource sharing, economic development, and the federal government saying, well, you go ask the provincial government saying, no, you go ask the federal government. So actually, there's lawyers working on it through the Métis National Council and policy analysis and policy people, and the national president, Clem Chartier, and a lot of other presidents throughout Canada are actually going to take it to the United Nations and go to Geneva and talk about it because this issue needs to be resolved. And if we're recognized nationally in the Constitution, why don't we have the same rights or access to services such as First Nations and Inuit people do? So it's a struggle being a Métis person. Like, we don't have treaties, so we're not covered,
right,
you know, to have the same rights as a treaty Indian would, or Inuit. And it's kind of like, why not? And if not, then you need to clearly define, why and how we can have better services and access to these things, just like other Aboriginal peoples do in Canada.
And that brings us to politics.
Mm-hmm.
And you had some interesting information to talk about. There's an election upcoming, I think, isn't there?
Yes, the Provincial Métis Council is having their election. They'll be calling an election, I think, next week or the week after. So if any Métis people are listening, you can just check the Métis Nation Saskatchewan website for updates and more information, and they're actually going to be hiring elections officials. So I got some information yesterday that Election Day is coming. Métis citizens in Saskatchewan have worked hard to establish a democratic process to give our people a voice to exercise their political right to self-governance and to implement change that affects future generations. The Métis represent one of Saskatchewan's founding peoples and have made immense contributions to Saskatchewan's social, cultural, economic, and political makeup. So we're trying to get people out to vote, young people and other people, I guess, who haven't had much say, I guess, with the Métis Nation in the past. There was really low voter turnouts in 2007, and we're trying to get people excited to come and vote and exercise that right to vote. It's a little bit different for the Métis. It'll be a self-declaration. You have to be a Métis citizen. You have to be 16 years of age or older, so it's a little bit younger than, I guess, the 18 for mm-hmm. provincial or federal elections. And you can't be registered as a member of a First Nations or other group of Aboriginal peoples and must be resident of Saskatchewan. And then the political office will have offices set up in each region throughout the province. So in Regina, the office for the region will be here for Western Region 3. And people can come out and register and vote and, I guess, find out who's running. The mm-hmm. positions up is president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer, so all executive positions. And also each region will have a representative candidate in their region running. So there'll be five positions to vote for. And it's very important that people come out and vote because these are the people who are representing Métis within Saskatchewan. Even if people don't want to be political, I think it's important to vote on leadership who is educated and knowledgeable and going to bring the nation up to where it needs to be. The Métis Nation had its woes and its, and I believe that it's time.
I call them growing pains.
Growing pains, yes. A lot of growing pains. And I believe it's my generation who's going to bring them to the next level. And, mm-hmm. and it's the younger people who aren't stuck on the past issues and the things. And it's like, okay, just like the foundation, let's do this. Let's move forward. We'll remember the past so it doesn't happen again. And we'll just keep pushing forward to have, you know, a good future for the generations to come. And, that's what we're looking at doing is to have a really good election and a really good turnout.
This is a provincial election. Are there, I would imagine Manitoba has their own federation as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a national federation of Métis people as well?
The Métis National Council is, they don't have a national voting thing, so how the Métis National Council gets its votes is through all the provincial presidents.
Okay.
And some other reps will come together and vote on a national president, so it's not mm-hmm. the actual citizen. So mm-hmm. it's kind of cool here because even if you compare it to the Federation of Saskatchewan Indian Nations elections, only chiefs are allowed to vote for their, you know, their first vice or their first chief, or I can't mm-hmm. remember what they call him, his position. But so, you know, like they're only allowed, chiefs are only allowed to vote for chiefs, whereas in the Métis election, citizens, just regular people like me and you can go out and vote mm-hmm. and, six, you know, people as the age of 16 years old can go out and vote for an elective representative.
Earlier you said that in order to be able to vote, you just basically have to self-identify as being Métis.
Mm-hmm.
Would there be any possibility that that could be challenged?
It could be challenged, but the people who are coming out, I guess, will have to provide ID, just like any provincial election, with that verifies their address of where they live, residency, and their signature. Mm-hmm. So what they'll do, they'll come and sign an affidavit saying, I solemnly swear that I am so-and-so, I live here, and I'm a Métis person, whether I consider myself Métis, I'm accepted by the Métis community. You know, most okay. Métis people do know who they are, and if not, then they can go do a genealogical study
okay.
or find out, I guess, through parents or somewhere, I guess, on if they are Métis, and mm-hmm. then they can come in, sign an affidavit with the Commissioner of Oaths. So it's on, the onus is on them to, you know, be responsible to, I guess, they if it can be challenged in court if a Métis person votes more than once in different regions, or if somebody say is using somebody else's ID, or somebody who has passed on is voting. So things like that
similar
have come up in
election.
The past. But there's a Saskatchewan Métis Elections Act in place where it's being followed by the Chief Electoral Officer and the office in Saskatoon, where anything like this, you know, discrepancies in voter citizenship, or, you know, any kind of election.
Right.
Things that happen that are, you know, not good, that they can have a process to deal
sure.
with that legally.
We have a few minutes left, and I wanted to ask you if someone wants to join your foundation, which Yi Wei Shinan, eventually I'll get that. What's the eligibility for joining your organization?
Well, right now we're just doing memberships, and it's free, and you can sign up as a member or a volunteer. We're looking for volunteers for lots of events. We actually have a bingo this Sunday at the Regina Senior Center on 2024 Elphinstone Street from 1 to 3. And so we're just doing a small bingo. I'm going to be the bingo caller.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we have events like that coming up. And they can get a hold of me, 550-8938. I'm in Regina. And also through our website, wearehelpers.org. We have a Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
So they can search Métis on there, or it's a really long spelling of our name. So I guess maybe the website would be the easiest to find us if you don't know how to spell our foundation's name, because it's one really, really long word.
Wichi Wei Shinan
Foundation.
Wichi Wei Shinan. Yeah. It's wonderful to have you with us.
Thank
Ashley.
You.
I feel so educated. and I wish you, your foundation, the best. The last thing I'd like to talk about before we go is partnerships. You talked earlier about partnerships. What about allies joining your foundation? Are you interested in having people who may not necessarily be Métis?
Oh, yes.
But like, for instance, yes. I have a grandson whose grandmother is a Métis dancer.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, so for me, this is almost a personal issue.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I mean, his other grandmother, not me.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, you know, perhaps I might want to join as a supportive ally. Is that something you're interested in?
Or? Oh, yes. I didn't even mention that our foundation is open to anybody. Like, we've had men at our meetings, even though it's a women's foundation, just knowing that it's focusing on women and families. And, of course, men are included in the families, and our children are, you know, boys and girls. So we're not going to be exclusive to anybody who wanted to come out in support of. We have had different groups of races of people come out to support us, so we're always open to, you know, creating unity. And one thing I didn't say about our award show is that we have an award specifically for, you know, a person who used to be Métis but then now has gained treaty status, say like somebody like Jim Sinclair, who was Métis and instrumental for helping with Métis rights, and then, you know, they're not Métis anymore because of Bill C-3.
Right.
So there's always opportunity for anybody to come out and support us, and it's, you know, we're such a new foundation that we're looking for all types of sponsorships and volunteers. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us, Ashley Norton.
No problem.
Take it away, Jim.
As we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJATR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For info on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."